Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the boys. With your hosts, Crystal CB Booker, and the boys, George Biker Boy Hallman, Roger Hawkins, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Get set for music, motivation, conversation, and fun. Now here's CB and the boys.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful CB and the boys. I'm CB, and I got my boys in the building, Mr. George Biker Boy Hallman and Roger Hawkins. Now, J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas has not joined us as of yet, and hopefully before the end of the show, he will. So, hey, guys, how are you, and how is your week going?
We're jerking. What's happening, everybody?
What's happening? What's happening?
Everything good, everything good. I mean, it's Wednesday, you know, hump day.
It is.
Almost through the week. So, yeah, everything is great. Everything is great. How's everybody on that end?
Awesome, awesome. Can't complain. It's been a heck of a week.
As always, it seems like they bring something new each time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we
it's
lost.
Been pretty quiet around here.
Well,
what's
that's
up?
That's a good thing. Well, we lost some royalty this past week. Our condolences go out, of course, to the royal family for the loss of Prince Philip, and we lost the king, Earl Simmons, aka DMX. Rest in peace, King. And we do have a tribute for DMX before we get any further into the show. What do you guys remember of DMX? Do you guys have a favorite DMX song, or what did DMX mean to you?
I think X, man. Believe it or not, for those who actually took the time to try to understand him, or not understand him so much as personally, but just like where this guy was coming from, this cat really was talented. I mean, he was definitely influential in just listening to all the other artists talking about what he did for them. It's kind of funny because I would have never thought of him as such, but I mean, you know, old school guys all the way up to now are saying how he influenced them, how he just, you know, he motivated. He did a lot of things, you know, just away from the mic, away from the stage and everything else. So, you know, it's kind of cool to hear because we oftentimes, you know, heard about kind of the things he went through, drug-related and, you know, legal troubles and whatnot. But I think in recent light of, like, some of the things that have come out, we kind of began to understand, like, exactly how this guy's kind of been, he's kind of been, you know, just completely dogged his whole life from the standpoint of people that he's supposed to care about, that are supposed to care about him and look out for him, have just done him wrong. And so he really kind of never had a fighting chance in that respect, although he still managed to make a whole hell of a lot out of himself in a shorter amount of time than some people did. So, and I have, you know, I mean, what do you think? I've got an interesting DMX story, kind of a DMX story, and it revolves around that. But before we get into that, how much did you listen to X, Crystal? I mean, I know you have a wide variety of musical tastes and things like that. So, you know, did you listen to him a lot, a little bit? Did you know much about it? Or are you kind of being, you know, having some light shed on you about him? You know, what's your experience with X? Bueller? Uh-oh. Are we losing, folks? All right, hang tight, folks. So I hear a little bit. All right. We got a bunch of stuff going on, it seems like, on a Wednesday, so we're gonna rock on as is. Anyway, anybody out there listening, do me a favor. You know, if you're on Restream, hit me with a question or a particular story about DMX you guys want to talk about. I'll read it on air, and then we'll just kind of do a little Q&A, have a little feedback from there. Because, like I said, I think a lot of people, you know, had kind of a predetermined notion about the guy just based on a few things that may have happened. And, again, anything that becomes newsworthy kind of becomes people's reality, you know. So I feel like, unfortunately, he got painted with the same brush as a lot of other people, which means, you know, he didn't get a fair shake. He didn't get to defend himself, explain himself, or define himself other than to the people that kind of got to see him. So we're going to take a pause for the calls, folks. Be right back with you.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. Having a little technical difficulties here, but the show must go on. Anyway, DMX was a great guy, and everyone that worked with him always had nothing but positive things to say about him, definitely. So in our tribute, I have one of DMX's greatest songs, and here is Rough Riders. Here we go.
Woof, woof.
Four, four. Now it's top of bed. Two more to the head. Got the floor red. Yeah, that nigga's dead. Another unsolved mystery. It's going down in history. Niggas ain't never did shit to me. Bitch ass niggas can't get to me. Got to make a move. Got a point to prove. Got to make them groove. Got them all like, ooh. Show it to the next time. You hear this nigga rhyme? Try to keep your mind on getting pussy and crime. Talk is cheap, motherfucker.
You heard the man. Talk is cheap. Classic, man. That's when they first kicked it off. Rough Riders kicked in and, you know, branched off and, you know, several members went on to really do that thing, you know. Eve, Dragon, some of the other folks. So, man, it's going to be rough without that brother. That brother definitely had energy. I know a lot of people wish they could have gotten a piece of or touched. So, you know, RIP to that cat. I will say this. This is interesting. And, you know, I feel like, you know, unfortunately, it usually takes something like, unfortunately, the most final and terminal thing like death for people to, you know, recognize just how important another person was only after they're no longer available. I'll never understand that, and I try not to. I live like that. I try to be just the opposite. You know, try to appreciate everything and everyone that means anything to you today, because tomorrow's definitely not guaranteed. So, you know, if guys don't take anything from this and the countless other, you know, people that have passed away in the past year or more, that, you know, that can't be reiterated enough. I definitely feel like we always hear that, and then someone's always talking about it, but only when it kind of, you know, cuts deep and hits close to home do we say, man, you know, man, I wish I would have, or things like that, you know. So, yeah, you know, before you go to bed tonight, stop and think about it, you know. Maybe you got a chance to say everything you needed to a particular person. Maybe you didn't. Don't let that drag you down, but definitely let that be a lesson learned for the future, you know. And that's absolutely the truth, because, once again, you just don't know. None of us do. I mean, man, I'm thinking about it now. Shit. Ecstasy, Prince Marky D, Debo. Not to be funny, but, man, it's been a rough 365. We've lost a lot of people that, you know, were important to us just from the standpoint of, yes, they entertained us. But I could venture to say that, you know, we really did learn something from each of these people, whether it was they overcame a particular challenge to get to where they were. They didn't, you know, live up to particular standards, and they still persevered. So a lot of things you can take from that. Again, I know we all, well, most of us have probably checked out that little interview that he did where he got really emotional because he was 14 years old, and someone he looked to as a brother is who kind of started him down that dark road, you know, laced the blunt with crack, and, you know, he kind of was running from those demons forever. Man, that's shitty. I tell you, sometimes it really is the ones closest to you. I mean, and it makes me wonder, obviously, was he showing that musical prowess or his intellect or whatever type of genius was he showing even back then? You know, that clearly wasn't enough to make whoever that was not try to set him up and turn him down that dark path. Because, again, you know, an addict or a junkie or someone desperate doesn't really give a damn about you. They just want to get you into a bad position to depend on them so that they can, you know, feed their own habit or whatnot, you know, based off of your desperation. So I just think about that all the time. And then again, maybe he wouldn't have developed into who he was without that pain. You know, it's kind of a gift and a curse. You know, they say burning stars, you know, burn out the fastest. A bright star burns fastest. And we look at all the people that we lost early that didn't make it to a particular age. I mean, 50 to a lot of us is like, that's not old anymore. It used to be considered really old. We're looking at that like, shit, some of us are 50. Some of us are knocking on the door. And we absolutely realize that is not old. one thing I will say, a story, since we were talking about DMX stories, this is kind of interesting. I you know, in some ways. I can't say it was, I feel like I may have lost a friendship or relationship just based on, like, a particular DMX song, you know. And I'll explain. So, you know, a long time ago, I can't remember which album it was, but we all know some of the music he talks about where, you know, the songs Damien and things like that, where he's kind of playing the proverbial devil and angel on either shoulder type of thing. And so he, of course, he personifies all the characters in the music. Well, a really good friend of mine at the time had just started dating, a young lady. And I guess she was what I like to call one of those holy rollers who's a holy hypocrite. And because of that, she didn't understand what he was actually talking about in the song. She just immediately went off tangent talking about he was a devil worshiper, he was Satanist, blah, blah, blah. Well, the friend of mine at the time was really wanting to impress the young lady, so he kind of let her have a tirade. And unfortunately, because he was all new, we were all newly acquainted, I held no punches, and I tore her a new one because if you talk to any of the artists out there now, the one thing that they said about him was when that guy grabbed the mic or had a prayer session or walked up on stage and took over, it was undeniable. I mean, Ashanti has talked about it. LL Cool J has talked about it. Busta Rhymes has talked about it. Countless people said when that dude opened his mouth, it rocked you to your core. Nobody who's remotely, you know, religious or has a kind of faith that man did, if you knew anything about the way his grandmother brought him up and who he was, there's no way that you could pull that stuff from just nowhere, man. The guy felt that. So not that it's a big deal, but I'm just curious to know what she thinks about this and how they both feel about this now, because we don't talk anymore and haven't really seen in years and all that. But anybody that knows me knows Roger loves to be right, so I told you so. But it's a shame we came to this. But that's kind of my DMX story. So, you know, I'm just glad that brother proved to a lot of people, you know, how powerfully spiritual he was and how grounded he was in his faith and belief based on what his grandmother showed him. I mean, that's who kind of carried him along, because obviously his mom did a number on him when he was younger and things like that. So I think that's a pretty interesting twist to a lot of the crap that you've heard, is that even way back then in the late 90s and things, when I can't say that I was listening to everything he did and all that, but I did like his stuff, I still had the wherewithal to, you know, to defend it. I felt that I knew where he was coming from. And even in that small little setting, I didn't want to let him continue to be misunderstood or bashed or, you know, abused or whatever just because someone didn't take the time to get to listen and really hear who he was and what he was doing, just kind of on a superficial level, which is where we miss a lot of meaning. So, you know, X, I did my job, man. I defended you, brother. Hope you're here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are definitely experiencing some growing pains right now, but the good thing about it is that we are growing. The cool part about that is that we are now iHeartRadio, as well as the other platforms that we've been coming to you from. So, you know, of course, being a pretty small operation and growing pretty quickly, we ask you to bear with us. We do appreciate everybody that's been here with us and is kind of rocking through this with us, because trust me, you know, on the back end, it's going to be amazing. You know, we've got a lot more stuff to come, including, you know, live feeds from different places, road trips. We've got a lot of things coming down the pike. So, in the meantime, in between time, please just bear with us. We appreciate everyone, you know, hanging in there when you do, and at least checking back in, you know, on the other weeks when you can. So, yeah, and that's just my way of shouting out all of our loyal followers, because without you guys, we really have no reason for doing this. So, again, do appreciate you for that. And we're going to pause real quickly here. All right. Now, I know for some of y'all that see me, you think that Roger's kind of being out of character here. Well, no, I'm not. I am just continuing to hydrate with this cup of tea that you see, so that second half of the show I can get back to my normal. I think we know what that is. Pinky up with my particular choice of bourbon today. I'll be letting you guys know. We'll pull from the stock. I would say George is going to join me, but he's at work in the lab right now trying to figure out some important stuff. So I'll have to do something for both of us, which means I'll be using both hands. You're welcome. And since we're talking about the hydration and things like that, I don't know what part of the world you guys are in, but you guys know that time of year is coming where the weather's shifting up, so take care of yourself, because Lord knows we do not need another reason to have more people try to run our lives and things like that. So take care of yourself so that folks aren't looking at you crazy. I mean, hell, you can't even sneeze anymore without people looking at you like you might explode. But nevertheless, I mean, I've always been an advocate of self-help and a proponent of taking care of yourself. So make sure we are doing that. I mean, you know, we relax here and do a lot of our things and all that. But trust me, during the day, you absolutely have to eat the right way. You have to take care of yourself. Adequate rest, you know, adequate exercise. I know everybody doesn't love it, and you don't have to be a workout warrior, but you've got to do something. Point blank, use it or lose it. That your body will let you know. And so while we are all enjoying just being here in 21, let's step it up a little bit. That's kind of my personal challenge to everyone. If you don't do anything else other than park a little farther away from your job and walk to the car, you know, take the steps once, not even all day until you're ready to take them all day. Just do something different. Step it up a little bit. All right. It'll bring everything else on, too. Your energy will go up, you know, your mental energy will go up, everything. So let's step it up and make it pop this year, folks. Looks like we got a little bit kicking in. Hey, I see other pretty faces besides my own. How's it going, folks? It's just going. I love when my co-hosts look like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I find the humor in everything. Hey. I was over here just giving my somber updated version of my own eulogy to the ex. I have my own ex story. So it's all good. I'll tell you what. I've got a couple of doozies for you guys this week. Crystal, I know you said you had some pretty good subject matter as well. So, like I said, before I decide to get wacky with mine, what you got for us today, Mama?
Well, I was kind of taken back by what's going on with, you know, Lil Nas X and his gigantic marketing stunt, which seems to have kind of backfired on him. But, you know, I guess any exposure is better than no exposure at all. I guess that's, you know, kind of how people are looking at it. And in a sense, you know, that is true, you know. However, I think that Nike is being very hypocritical about everything, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why. Number one, these shoes are in a series. And a few months back, they did the Jesus shoe, and Nike didn't blink an eye. They said nothing. So now that the next shoe in the series is, of course, the Satan shoe, because without good, you can't have evil. Without evil, you know, there's got to be a balance of that, right? When you think of that, it's just very hypocritical for them to be angry that he did a Satan shoe when, number one, again, it's part of a series. So it made sense for him to do that. And aside from the fact that Lil Nas X right now is laughing all the way to the bank, and he is, would be, I would.
I agree.
So it's very hypocritical of them to, you know, be all enraged and up in arms because it's the Satan shoe, but they didn't say anything when it was the Jesus shoe. And it's basically the same concept. And, you know, right now, we know a lot of things are good and a lot of things are evil, and that battle between good and evil definitely is raging, and we know this. We've seen proof of it, you know, time and time again. However, for people to come after him because of that, I think, again, is really hypocritical of everyone to pass judgment and have something to say about it, when there's really no reason for them to be that way, you know? It just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense in that sense at all. So.
You know, I agree. And, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised to see you taking this, this, as we call it, the devil's advocate approach, but I have to say I couldn't agree more, because honestly, you're right. If you just want to talk balance, let's talk balance, okay? You've got to do this side. Now you've got to do that side. We're just talking marketing. We're not talking personal preference, because technically it's not legal to take a stance or choose, which is why you always see companies saying, hey, their disclaimer is, you know, we in no way advocate, condone, can do blah, blah, blah. They're protecting themselves. And now all of a sudden, like you said, they're actually taking a public stance against it. I get it. It's money. And I think we all agree that religious groups and factions control this country from the inside out in every way, shape, and form. Even if we don't recognize it or realize it, it's the truth. I mean, if you want to look at, you know, the Jews control the entertainment business. The Catholic Church has the second or third largest bank in the world. Why the hell would you have your own bank and ATM inside there if you're not literally banking? I mean, it's a business. That's what it is. I tell people that all the time, and people get upset when I say that. I go, I'm sorry, people, religion is a business. I'm not talking about your belief or your feeling. I'm just talking about the business aspect of it. There's no other real reason to fight a war over, unless there's something profitable coming from it. Has nothing to do with what you think. You like the color red, I like the color green. And, you know, guess what? There's room for both of us in the world. We don't fight about it. You just look good in red and I look good in green. So I agree with what you're saying, but I think because of the pressure from the inside, Nike had to take a stand. And again, it wasn't their idea, but if you look at what Lil Nas X did, it was pretty brilliant. Think about it. He took the shoe. He just purchased a shoe. Let's just say he bought a shoe. He altered it himself, air quotes. And then he said, okay, I'm going to sell it. Well, yeah, it is still a Nike, but it's not a shoe that Nike made. And like I was, you know, I had the conversation with my sister. It's no different than when Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan, any of these people signed their shoe. And then they auctioned it. The only difference is he kind of went public with it, and he can't publicly use Nike's platform to promote or sell anything, but he could do an auction. There's nothing illegal about selling anything of anyone's in a private auction. So the route that he took, but he, like you said, he's laughing all the way to the bank. I'll guarantee you his team, his marketing, PR, his whole team knew exactly what was happening, and they did exactly what they planned on doing. So, yes, when there will not be a lose, but win, lose, or draw, he's going to laugh all the way to the bank, whether you can purchase them or not. So, and again, I'm all for it. You know what? It's kind of like the yin and yang of the world. You know, without good, there's no evil. Without struggle, there's no progress. I could go on and on and on. And I feel like he's causing people to question things and make them uncomfortable, because for so long, in this country in particular, but in a lot of places, you're almost force-fed a particular way of thinking. You know, you might have one or two options, maybe a couple, but that's it. And so, you know, people, you don't have to like the kid's music. You don't have to like how he dresses. You don't have to like what he says or does. But you should at least respect it. You should at least say, hey, he's entitled. So now my thing is, if your kids talked about it, I don't know. I know they're adults, but they're still your kids. So if your son said, hey, you know, I'm thinking I wouldn't mind trying to work up and get a pair of these. I think it's going to be worth something, blah, blah. Would you have an issue with them getting them or even just wearing them?
Well, low key, to be honest, I wouldn't mind getting a pair of crippling, but it's a cute shoe.
What? Oh, shit.
The only thing that would stop me.
The price tag?
I mean, honestly, the only thing, well, not even just the price tag, but one thing that would majorly stop me is because it represents Satan, and of course, as we all know, Satan represents evil. And who wants to be associated with evil? I don't. So
no,
that.
But my, I guess my, and again, my, the question, the million dollar question is, yes, it's supposed to represent the opposite of the other shoe. But here's what's funny. Everybody talks about heaven. Everybody wants to wear wings. And all the people that do it, most of them are far from a fucking angel. So, of course, it just, but what's interesting is as long as you seem to be promoting or in league, then that's kind of good enough. And I think that's the worst type of hypocrisy. I know this is going to sound strange because, again, I'm no one's judge or jury. Therefore, I don't really care what side anyone is on. But I can respect someone who tells me, hey, I think like this, and I don't care how you feel about it. This is how I feel. Hey, you know what? Cool. Look, I've been great friends with atheists. I think a lot of people have learned that over the years, based on what they learned and what they think now, they're confused. That's why there's a huge growing population of what we'll call agnostics, meaning they believe that everything and anything can coexist together. And then you have people that are just highly religious, and they choose a path in terms of which particular religion they follow. Who's right, who's wrong, nobody's going to know because nobody ever really comes back to tell you. But as far as what it represents, I think it's nothing more than a marketing ploy. Prime example. You ever see when non-Asian people get, like, Chinese letters and things like that tattooed on them, people go, that's stupid. Why do you do that? They don't even like you, blah, 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 blah. They, it trips them out, right? My question is, how come no one jumps on them when they stole hip-hop, breakdancing, and all kind of other stuff and improved it for the, for 20 years and nobody was doing it over here? From the 80s into the 2000s, they owned that, and they kept that alive and fresh. And even though, yes, we invented it, they took it and improved it. And then when it comes back into vogue, everybody's like, oh, okay, well, are we going to go jump on them now? I see more Asian kids wearing Kangols now than I see brothers. I don't care. So it's kind of one of those, we have to pick a street. So all that to say is nothing about you would represent anything more than you like that shoe. I get the fact that it's kind of tough if you don't feel like catching flack every single day by people going, why do you have that? But it's a great conversation piece if you're willing to engage. You know, me personally, just ain't going to pay for it. But heck yes.
Yeah.
It'd be a great conversation piece.
Because, but it's like, you know, it's like the shoes sold out within mm-hmm. less than a minute. A minute, not mm-hmm. an hour. Mm-hmm. A
wow,
minute,
huh. Right?
Which is testament to number one, Little Nas X's power in this industry, but also just it's a cool shoe. When you think of it, that it's in a series. So you've got the Jesus shoe, and you have the Satan shoe, and it's your choice whatever shoe you want to get. Because the Jesus shoe was a cute shoe too. It was on the white side. And the same shoe is like on the dark side, the black side. So it's your preference. It's a preference. Do I think that everyone who wears
right.
Do I think that everyone who wears the Satan shoe is evil? No. Not at all. Do I think that everyone who wears a Jesus shoe is, you know, quintessentially good? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preference. It's a style. It's depending on, you know, what your style is, what you like, what you don't like. All that kind of factors in. So,
right.
You know, and to be honest, hats off to his marketing team because that was brilliant. I mean, seriously. But I don't think that he was quite ready for the backlash that he received because
yeah.
he's received a lot of hate and all of that. So it's just interesting to see how this all plays out. But at the end of the day, he's still, you know, laughing his way to the bank. And I don't blame him. I would do the same thing. Who wouldn't?
Well, that,
I mean,
that's
when
where
really
I'm not sure if I
down,
agree. I think he was absolutely ready for the backlash. I think he was 100% ready because he has a team, and their job is nothing but having working knowledge of what can and might happen, when and where, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think he knew full well what was going to happen, but the rule is there's no such thing as bad publicity. And so I think that's where the whole thing comes into play is because, you know, he's like, you know what, as long as they're talking, boom, publicity. If you talk great about someone, people want to know what the heck is going on. Guess what? If you talk terribly, people want to know what the heck is going on. And so I just feel like it was win-win for him, and he knew it. They knew it. And I said that the other day, no matter what, no matter if they said we're going to discontinue this shoe, it'll never be sold again, it only makes it more valuable. If they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and make a concession, then people are like, great, we love Lil Nas X, go ahead and do what you do. See, it's win-win. How many times in your life can you say, if I go left, I win. If I go right, I win. Not very many. Not very many. Here's an interesting segue, and this is going to sound crazy, but you follow me because you understand how my mind works. Speaking of, like, just that particular subject and other subjects like that, can I just throw it out there and say I am sick as hell of everybody just throwing up this prayer emoji out the blue, just willy-nilly. Like that's almost like, oh, I did my job, on to the next thing. That irks me. I get it that you can't do much else, but it's like, and I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, you know, when people get online and go, oh, I can assure you some prayers, and then you come back and they go, I was hoping it rained yesterday and it didn't. Like, people like that should be shot. I don't care. But I'm talking about, like, serious things going on. And I suppose the reason I'm saying that is because with everything going on in the world, don't tell me you're sitting there praying for me. Get your ass up and come help. Do something. Make a call. I guess I'm a man of action, and just, I'm sorry, I'm not old school like that. I'm not going to sit in the house with the door closed, safe, watching TV, praying and shit like that. If I believe in something, I'm going to try to figure out a way to make a move. That's just me. Not saying I want to be a martyr. I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe I'm just bugged by it, because literally it's the worst thing that can happen to someone happens. And then people just throw that little prayer emoji up a couple of times, and then they're going about their day. They're done. Like, that didn't do jack shit to help someone. Make a phone call. Write a letter. Try to get a law changed. Do something. But just saying, you know what, don't even tell me that. If I'm in jail, right, don't pray for me. Bring your ass down there with a bail bondsman. You know, if my car is overturned, get the jaws of life, flip it back over. Don't stand there and go, hey, dude, I'm on the sideline praying for you. Let's work that out. I know I'm being a little bit extra, but it just irks me right now, because I know that there are people out there that really think they're doing something, and I'm here to tell you, you're not. Pray while you're trying to break that branch that's falling on the house and all that, or you know, you're trying to save, you know, a drowning kid or something. But don't just, you know, you hit that and then you hit send, and now you're right back to goofy ass TikTok videos. So, yeah, I don't know, that's Roger's rant for the day.
Right.
I had to get it out. Who we are, you know.
But one thing, too, I wanted to touch on is the topic of censorship. Now, one thing I'm hearing a lot of is everyone is saying, you know, with the major hypocrisy. You know, what about the children? The children, how can we save our children? Well, number one, it is not Little Nas X's responsibility to save your children, number one. That's first and foremost. Censorship should start within the home. If there is something you do not want your children to be exposed to hear, to see, then as a parent, it is your responsibility to monitor what your child does. And you can't just expect the video games to monitor, because there are those explicit disclaimers on every piece of content that isn't suitable for children, whether it be a video game that is, you know, T for teenager. There's a reason it's T for teenager and not T for toddler, for example. You know, there's a reason why, you know, when a movie comes on, it says parental guidance is advised. Keyword, parental guidance. If the parents aren't paying attention to what the kids are doing, so it's not the artist's responsibility to pay attention to what another child is doing, a child that's not theirs. And that's how I feel about that. And it just, you know, it's kind of frustrating every time I hear, you know, when an artist does something and they're like, oh, my God, what if the kid, what would children say, you know? They're role models. And, yes, they are role models. When you become famous, you become a role model, whether you want to be one or not.
Yep.
And with great power, you know, in the words of the immortal Spider-Man, with great power
yep.
comes great responsibility. And when you become famous, the eyes of the world are upon you, and it's important to conduct yourself accordingly. But you're also an artist, and art can be perceived in many different forms. What Lil Nas X did, definitely edgy, to say the least, surprising, but it's also a form of art that you can't deny that. The video to his song, I forgot the name of the song, but anyway, it's very, very graphic, you know, from him turning himself into a snake and fucking himself. giving himself a lap dance on the throne as Satan. So it's like, what he was going for, don't know. the graphics, you know, the visuals of that are spectacular. And when he was on the pole, dude, he worked it. Hats off to you, Lil Nas. Hats off to you, Lil Nas X. You were working that pole. Unlike I've never seen before.
Listen. I don't take talent. I don't take credit away from anyone with talent. There was a gentleman, I'll just say, when I was in college, and when I say he taught and trained all the sororities on their moves and steps, like, hey, it's undeniable. It just is what it is. You got to love it. It's just funny. I know some people can't handle that, but I can't deal with a closed mind like that. Now, like you said, it is the job of the parents to monitor and to censor. And ignorance of a particular rule does not absolve you from following that rule. So if you didn't know that they weren't supposed to be doing something, that's not really an excuse if that particular child uses, you know, that and it comes out to, you know, to their detriment when they do something, you know, dangerous. But also look at all the availability that there is of information and not necessarily the greatest of things in the world. I mean, they have it at their hand. It's constant. They don't have to get up. They don't have to sneak into it. They literally have to roll over and open up their browser or open up their phone, and everything is at their disposal. But you can put blocks on things. Yes, you still can. And people don't even think about that. You can put all kind of ratings and blocks on your computers, on your kids' phones, but we don't think to go that far because we think we're just going to yell up there, hey, you better not be doing so-and-so. They go, okay, and that's it. Fantastic parenting, people. I mean, look, everyone gets tired, but it's not a job that you can check out from. So you're right. When you become a public figure, your life is no longer yours. But at the same time, we need to teach our children that these people are mortal, they're human, they're just like you and I, other than their particular occupation. And because of that, mm-hmm. we cannot hero worship and idolize imperfect people, because that just sets you up for a huge letdown. And unfortunately, that part of it really isn't the celebrity's fault, but the parents for even saying that. I'm not saying, look, if my son said, hey, I wanted to be like Usain Bolt, or I wanted to play ball like so-and-so, I'm fine with that. But you, if you want to do that particular activity like that person, sure. But you always strive to be a better individual than anybody you know. You be the best you can be, not just who they are. I mean, these are conversations that are not going on. So what that man is doing is his business, his livelihood. Yes, we can mm-hmm. we can see it, we can view it, but you can black that out. You can turn it off. You can do anything like that. It's your house, your child, your face, though. And when people don't do that and then blame TV and all that, I think every one of them is a damn idiot. So, you know what? I hope your child clubs you. Because if you're stupid right. enough to say, I can't do anything about it, hey, the day your kid runs your household is the day you should just go ahead and roll on over. Because, you know, you're not the boss, that's for damn sure. And, you know, and again, I know that rubs some people the wrong way, but sorry, it's just the truth of the matter. You can't be the boss of anything that you can't take care of or pay for on your own, especially okay. if you're not around. So, you know, again, I'm not knocking that young man. Think about it. We had edgy people. It was a different time. They had edgy people in our parents' generation. Every generation always had someone. Little Richard used to be considered edgy, and James Brown. And then, you know, you come into our generation, and, I mean, we had people on both sides. Madonna was considered that. I mean, Rick James was considered that. We had people, you know, coming to the 80s, 90s, NWA. Everybody has people in their generation that push the envelope. That's why new boundaries are created. That's why new heights are achieved. But it doesn't mean that we have to just accept that that's okay. I mean, think about it. You know, a lot of us probably snuck and listened to stuff we shouldn't listen to. But when our parents weren't around, you know, but at the same time, at least we were smart enough to know, look, I can't do this openly or whatever, you know, not without, you know, mama knocking my head off. So it's still a system of checks and balances. So, again, I'm not mad at that guy. You know, I'm not. Luckily, my kids are old enough that I can say to them, look, anything you choose to do now, you're choosing to do. Well, you know, it could be with my blessing or not, but you're choosing, and then you deal with what comes. But, you know, I'm not going to go crying and saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't control them. You just would never have heard those words from me when my kids were younger. I don't know what to do with them. I promise you I do. It ain't going to be pretty. So, it's interesting, but, you know, I don't like the blame, the false. It's just easy. Oh, it's his fault. He's bad. So blah, 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 blah. You know, get out of here. You can't do that. You know, that it's called parenting for a reason.
I mean, who's going to let their daughters run around just like Cardi B or Lil' Kim or Nicki Minaj, for that matter? It is called parenting, and it's a parent's responsibility to check that, you know?
Right.
So it just boggles my mind how they are coming down on the artists for doing what they do, you know? I don't fault any of them. Now, the only one I do fault, now, when Lizzo showed up to the basketball game with her cheeks hanging out, that.
But wait. If Kim Kardashian would have done it, nobody would have said shit.
It would have batted
and you know
an
it.
Yeah. This is
true. I mean,
true.
Trust me, I understand the point that you're making. It's like discretion needs to be shown just for various reasons. It's not for modesty.
Even Kim Kardashian, and I really don't fuck with her Kardashians, but even she would not show up to a basketball game where one.
Oh, but she's
no,
done worse.
No,
I
not like
you.
That. Not like that. Not like that.
Okay, I guess
and
we'll you know now. You...
Before she became a mother, but I have never seen her show up to a basketball game naked.
Okay, your homework your mission, should you choose to accept it, is I can prove. I mean, it's irrelevant, but I promise you, she's done worse. The difference is she's attractive. Not that Lizzo's not attractive. She's just who she is. She's with her family. She's got the build for that. She's got the idea shape that industry loves. And therefore, it's two sets of rules. Is it fair? No. Is it right? No. Is it the reality? Yes. Again, Lizzo's a good-looking woman.
But it was still very tasteless to do that. I admire her confidence always. And I love Lizzo. Totally.
Sure. But it's just one of those, the industry tells us what is considered too much or not enough, or the raw and bad taste and things like that. And unfortunately, if you want to be a part of things, you sometimes have to adhere to their rules and guidelines within reason. But again, there will always be one, you know, little sheep that strays away and gets away with it. Now, interesting, you know, enough that you said that, I have a question for you, since we're kind of talking mothers and influence and things like that. I made a comment the other day that didn't sit too well with the lady of the house, but it's true. It's very true in my opinion, and I don't give a shit if anybody can fight me on it. I feel like the vast majority of TikTok videos, and maybe it's just the ones that come across guys' feeds because the world knows that we love TNA, and so any chance we get to look, we're gonna look. But I feel like the vast majority of TikTok videos are nothing more than women, young, old, and otherwise, showing their ass. And by that I mean there's almost not a video that you can look at that doesn't either start or end with a woman or a girl showing her butt, shaking it, turning around, smirking at the camera. Now, here's the point that I'm making. As long as you show me, I'm going to look because I'm a man. That's what we do. The problem is, as young boys and men, we're supposed to be taught to treasure our women, not to objectify our women, and to think of them as more than just a wagging ass. How is it possible to do that when the advertisement speaks differently? Basically, so many of these people are just saying, hey, look, this is what I'm throwing at you. Look, I'm telling you, I'm going to look. Here's the thing. From a grown man standpoint, I go, damn, this world is full of beautiful women, beautiful sisters, beautiful everything. I love seeing my sisters do their thing. The problem is you're still not sending the right message when all these videos, these women are walking away and you see the dog bouncing or them getting dressed and turning around. It always starts or ends with an ass shot. Now, being a leg and ass man myself, I couldn't be happier, but it's just not sending the right message. And again, I've got daughters, so my thing is I make them understand that even though their father is a creep like that, I need them to understand that what I'm telling you is how men think. I'm not going to hide anything because I don't want them to be like, you never told me that. No way. I'm never going to let them be unprepared, but I do need them to understand this is what you make it. And so my question to you is, do you think that the rules have gotten laxed and that parents are kind of falling even farther behind? Because I've seen videos where at least two or three, there's been a woman and a child, and they kind of they were doing the exact same dance together, kind of dressed like or whatever. I mean, it's just several occasions, but it's not appropriate, especially when you're dancing to fucking WAP. Like, dude, could you WAP? Seriously, wet-ass pussy? Really? I mean, trust me, it's everybody's favorite subject. But you're killing me when I see an 8-year-old, and I don't care that they don't know what it is, or there's always an excuse. They don't know what they're talking about. I don't care. The fact that those lyrics will be burned into her memory forever. She'll be 40 years old, 50 years old, 70 years old singing WAP to her grandkids because when she was 8, she didn't know what it meant. I just feel like it's sending the whole wrong message to even allow your kids to do that and then to get in there and do it with them just because you don't want to miss out on a challenge. Grow the fuck up. That's just really how I feel. Grow up, people. You know what I mean? I don't know. Have an adults-only page. I don't know how to do it. I'm not the monitor or the creator. I just think that it's sending the wrong message, at least to young people. You know, we're grown. Do what you want. If there was an adults-only page for that kind of stuff, I'd be number one subscriber. I'll never get tired of looking at, you know, beautiful ladies do what they do, stay in shape, take care of themselves. I don't care. Come from their job, cooking a meal, whatever you want to do. I love it. But when it comes to bouncing ass, turning around, looking at the camera, showing it, it's sending the wrong message. To young people anyway, the right one to grown, but the wrong one to young. So, I mean, how do you feel about it, though?
That's a loaded question. Basically.
Yes, it is.
I mean, basically, again, it goes back to how parents parent. Because it's their responsibility to make sure their kids are on the right track. And, of course, everybody can be a rebel. Like, I went to private schools my whole life, Catholic schools. You know what they say about us, Catholic school girls. Anyway.
The
but
worst,
we did that
worst.
Because, but, you know, we were the way we were because, or we were kind of labeled that because when we experienced just a little bit of freedom, like at a party or just,
yeah.
you know, being out, you know, it's just a way to express yourself when you don't have that, when you're stifled. Of course, when you get out there, you're going to wild out. That's how it is. Like going to college for the first time. You're not inundated with a bunch of rules saying, you know, you have to go to bed by this time. Get off the phone. You need your rest. Go study. You have a test tomorrow. When you are on your own, you're on your honor system, and you do what you want to do. And when you've not experienced that before, you're going to wild out. This is why you have a lot of college dropouts, because they have too much fun, and they realize, I need to find myself. After partying
right.
for a whole semester, you need to find
right.
yourself, you know? And
right.
it's just a matter of how people handle it, because you have also a lot of pressure is involved with that. When you are in control of you and your life, it's a scary thing, especially when you haven't been in control. You know?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I agree, and I get that part of it. You forget or you don't forget, but, you know, I went through the same thing. The difference is I kind of lived in two different worlds when I was in school. So, yes, I do understand that, and trust me, and you're right, we knew that, which is why we always were chasing the private school girls, because we knew what time it was. But at the same time, you know, things like get off the phone, get your resume, that's kind of what parenting is supposed to be about. Now, I do understand there can be some overbearing, what we would consider overbearing parents or too strict and things like that. And, yeah, unfortunately, that almost never, you know, washes out well. It's hard to find the happy medium in that balance. And I think, you know, again, conversation and open dialogue and things like that help that part. But, okay, let's just say all of a sudden, Your grandma, you got a 4 or 5 or 7-year-old granddaughter. Do you really think if you saw a video with your 7-year-old granddaughter dropping in front, you know, spreading her legs like an eagle and popping it and turning around, do you really think that that would be something you would be proud of? I don't give a shit how coordinated she is. The fact that she's doing a hypersexualized move on camera and your daughter's behind her imitating that, it's rhetorical, but I'm just saying, you wouldn't find that just a little disturbing? Because if I see, look, and I guess that's all I'm getting at, what's the age, what's the cutoff? I don't know, but again, because, again, we have girls. We all have girls and things like that. We all like to think, oh, mine's the exception to the rule, things like that. All I can tell mine is what the ramifications are of a particular action. But I can never tell her what not to do or who not to be, because, unfortunately, you know, one of every young lady and not-so-young lady's favorite artists right now is an ex-stripper. But the thing is, she's turned into, you know, a marketing phenom, and she's doing her thing, as are quite a few of them, which just proves it doesn't matter where you started. And again, people always say, hey, if your daughter came in right now and said, I want to be a madam, or I want to be, you know, the number one stripper or whatever, what are you going to do? You know, people immediately fly off the handle and saying, oh, I'd kick them out or I'd disown them, I'd do whatever. Well, you're pushing them right at light speed down that destructive path. I mean, your kids, we all do things that are displeasing to our parents and everyone else. And if that were to occur, I suggest we kind of have answers for it. So, again, if something like that shows up, you know, the Internet's forever. So if it shows up one day and you see something with one of your children that you don't want to see, you better have an answer. You better have a way to kind of figure that out because it's not going anywhere. And the only way to really avoid that, to stop any of that from happening, is to not let it happen. But you know how that goes. So I don't know. It's just something I thought about just because I feel like it's almost it's such a comfortable thing now that people don't even see how disturbing that is. You know, if your kids are doing one thing, it's kind of on them if you're not around. But to be in the video, that's just too much for me. And I don't know. Maybe that's just me being an old guy. But I can't. I can't rock with that. You know. Again, you know, you don't mind looking at someone else's mother, sister, cousin, daughter, whatever. But we don't like the idea of someone doing that to ours. But guess what? They are. They absolutely are. So, I don't know. Just something to think about. But I think it's just people are just, I don't know, they're desensitized once again to this kind of stuff. So, you just kind of worries me a little bit. I think it's very much a deliberate thing going on, but So, Che, do you listen to like anybody's podcast in particular? Like, you know, I don't know, anybody that may be doing something else that's different from what we're doing, but say you've got a show, if someone's got like a book club or anything like that, is there anyone else in particular that you listen to when you're not like kind of working on our thing?
To be honest, I like Ronan Farrow. He's very thorough, and he's a fellow colleague, of course, being in the journalism profession as I am. I like his podcast. I like Brian Tyler Cohen also. I like their podcast because they're honest and they feel what they report. It's not like they're not like robots. When you look at some of these anchor people on the TV or on some of these videos, they look like robots. Like their programs, like to report this or report that, and these two guys, they report, you know, the facts, how they see it from their perspective, and I like that. And there's something that I agree with on in their perspective, and something that I don't. And I like listening to reporting of that nature because it gives you a chance to draw your own conclusion. I'm like, just give me the facts and I'll draw my own conclusion. And I feel like that with any type of reporting or show or whatever, especially if it's news related, you know, just give me the facts. I'll draw my own conclusions. I can do my own research, but point me in the right direction. Let me know, what are the highlights? What do I need to be looking for? What matters? What counts? Things of that nature. It's very important to do your research. Sometimes you can't always take things at face value. Just because you see something on a video, sometimes videos can be altered. We know this. So it's best to always, you know, with a grain of salt. Because, like I said, videos can be altered, audio can be altered. So as long as you, one, also approach things with an open mind, because if you already have a closed mind about a subject, then your reporting is going to be just mainly aimed towards that. But if you have an open mind, meaning that you're open to surprise, you're open to, you know, to question things, to just to want to know more.
Right.
Because we can never know too much. And that goes just in life in general. You can never know too much. And we don't know everything. You could be of genius IQ level and not know a damn thing. So you just have
well,
to take everything
with a grain of salt. In another arena.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
But, I mean,
again, yeah, it's physically just impossible you could live 1,000 lifetimes because the word know or knowledge or whatever, it's relative. I mean, like we look at knowledge versus, let's say, book learning versus wisdom and things like that. One, you can only get through experience, period, the wisdom. Knowledge you can learn by reading or reciting or memorizing. And again, there's an infinite amount of things in the world to learn. So you're right, no one can know everything. But I think, you know, we can all be considered an expert at least one thing, if not a couple. What's interesting about what you were saying with, say, news and things like that is you can't believe anybody 100%. There's always going to be, because opinions drive the news. Opinions drive everything that we do. If it's popular opinion, then that agenda is going to be driven. If it's unpopular opinion, it's probably going to get pushed to the back. So, like you said, even then, you can't really take everything literally or 100% because, unfortunately, somebody's opinion or their pencil or a computer is going to put a little bit of a skew on it. So, you know, it is interesting to hear like different takes on the same subject, though. I like that because some of the truth, like they say, the truth will be somewhere in the middle. If you're so staunchly opposed to it, I'd like to know why. If you're so hugely for something, I'd like to know why. And believe it or not, you can kind of find your way in the middle and go, you know what, each person has a particular point. And then, like you said, you can choose what works best for you. So, yeah, I was just curious to know if anybody else kind of got your, you know, your marbles going rolling around a little bit. So here's an interesting thought considering, like, unfortunately, the sad state of affairs that this particular country is in when it comes to, you know, people being ruthlessly, you know, hunted down and just mistreated and things like that. Man, I mean, it's like, when is it going to stop? But that being said, do you feel like it's okay to, or do you feel obligated, let's put it like that, if there was someone you didn't like, I don't know if there is or isn't, I don't care, if there was someone you truly didn't care for, had issues with, didn't respect, whatever the case may be, and they passed away, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a friend or former colleague or whatever, would you feel obligated to go to the funeral, and do you think people should or should not?
Repeat that?
You feel obligated to go to the funeral of someone that you're not fond of or don't care for or don't respect? Or do you feel that people should do it out of respect, whether it be you or anybody? How do you feel about that? If it's someone that maybe you didn't care for in life for whatever reason, be that friend or relative or anything like that, and that person suddenly passes away, are you obligated to go if it's a relative or a former friend or if you're getting pressure from other people or things like that, would you feel obligated to go?
No, I wouldn't. Because, again, it's a preference. Everything is a choice. No one can make you do anything that you don't want to do. Now, there's always consequences to your choices, and you have to be ready to face those consequences. Whether it be backlash, someone talking behind your back, somebody having something to say, you're not going to please everybody. You can only please yourself. And if you don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it. And, you know, bottom line. But, again, you have to be ready for those consequences. Because for every action, there is a reaction, sometimes positive, but it can also be negative. So you have to be prepared to greet those reactions accordingly. So, no, I wouldn't feel obligated. If it's something I didn't want to do, I wouldn't do it. Period.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I agree. I just think I know. It's interesting because I know a lot of people put put a lot of, you know, stock into adhering to the rules or old traditions or things like that. And, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, I just feel like, yeah, you're not going to make me do that. I mean, I've kind of been to enough. It's to the point where, you know, when you've suffered enough loss or done that kind of dance enough times, that things you just go, I'm kind of over, especially if it's not really anything or anyone that, and again, it could be a relative. I know people feel like, oh, you got to, I guess if you want to look at it like that, you may have to love your relative, I suppose. I don't think you do, but let's just say, yes, I love my relatives because they're relation. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them, and you don't have to, you know, make it a point to do that kind of thing. Or it could be, you know, again, it could be a friend that used to be a friend, or, you know, a lot of things. So I was just wondering, because I've heard, you know, several conversations where, you know, people really made us think about that. Oh, you have to do it. Honor the dead. Honor this. And I tell people all the time, you realize, like, these whole big productions are not for the dead, they're for the living. I mean, we're beyond that time in history where people, you know, you're afraid of the sun and you worship the ground and all. I mean, like, we know well enough to know, like, okay, unlike the ancient Egyptians who were very brilliant, but they still put a bunch of shit in, you know, in a tomb thinking you could take it with you. So it's not really for them, it's for us. And, like, the antiquated way of thinking sometimes, it's almost comical because we, you know, we being people, love to hold on to old traditions for no other reason other than it's just comfortable. But, no, I agree with you. I was just curious, like, would you feel obligated because maybe it was an aunt or a cousin or you know, someone that may have been once close, you know? And I'm with you. I think the answer is no, not necessarily. So, yeah, I think it's pretty us. I think nowadays, and again, not to sound super self-absorbed and things like that because we're in that particular time in history, but I do feel like there's a fine line between being like, I don't give a shit about anybody, and going, oh, I've got to do everything over here because what are people going to think? What are they going to say? And I'm very, very seldomly concerned about that latter part right there. What do they think? What do they say? Couldn't care less. And what you said earlier, if you're prepared for things, you know, oftentimes you're not caught off guard, so you're ready no matter what comes. Backlash, bring it on. You know, negative feelings, that's cool. We can talk about it. Or the opposite. You're perfectly fine. And that's just kind of my thought process on that. So, yeah, you know, rocking with that. What's interesting, speaking of, we were talking about, you know, things, shows we listen to and all that, I'm a big audiobook fan because, you know, I've spent a lot of years traveling and driving and things like that. And, again, I think anybody that knows me knows I like comedy because when you actually get into the mind of comedians, you realize several things. One, most of them are out of their mind, but that also, it's just a truth. But that, you know, coupled with the fact that most are severely damaged, and which is why right. they turn it into comedy and things like that, which is admirable because most comedians hide a whole lot of pain. I mean, look at your Robin Williamses and look at their, so, you know, Chris Farley, Belushi, it goes on and on, Richard Pryor, obviously. And these guys were tortured souls. But then if you listen to them and their stories and their backgrounds and things like that, you're in awe that they even made it, you know, as long as they did and could walk in a straight line because they had so much damage. So I think I just have a lot of respect for that. And then when you listen to what's going on behind the comedy, you hear, like, some major, majorly deep stuff. So all that to say, of course, you know, and I was working in the garage the other day, and I was listening just on a humbug, didn't want to hear anything else. And, I, you know, Kevin Hart, of course, has a podcast, and I turned it on for a brief minute, didn't really want to hear too much. But it was interesting because he was interviewing Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. Well, I figure, you know, since the Coming to America joint has just come out, you know, it might be pretty good. I haven't seen it yet, so don't ask me. I will, because I want to review that. Now, I know you're the movie critic here, but I would love to watch it and review it and get your take on it, because we kind of come from two different worlds on that. But anyway, out of all the stuff that I listened to, just kind of half-assed listening to it, two things that I took from that, and I hate to say it because I'm a lifelong fan, but at this age, I feel like Eddie Murphy was either kind of faded, maybe a little high, a little something, but he was a douchebag. And what's funny about that is, and I think it's because they're friends, and it was kind of one of those, the whole quote-unquote interview was pretty tongue-in-cheek anyway, because I'm sure these guys have been around each other a lot, and it gets really difficult to keep answering the same questions over and over and over again. I've heard that many, many times from lots of different entertainers, actors. It's really hard to keep answering the same questions you've been answering for 40 years. So I kind of gave him a pass on that, but I was like, he was kind of like Big Brother's son in Arsenio and Kevin, and I was like, yo, man, this dude's a douchebag. He's an asshole. But it was just kind of funny because, I mean, he was literally every answer, whether it came out yesterday, Sunshine, Yellow, 7, the tone that they all took was like, nigga, I'm Eddie. What do you want to know? I'm me. And? Like, everything was just like, I'm me. I'm going to keep doing me. What's your point? Like, I'm that dude. And it was funny at first, but, like, after the third or fourth time, it was like, all right, dog, like, somebody needs to slap this dude in the mouth. But when you're as huge and as rich and as everything for four decades as he is, I mean, what are you going to tell that dude? But you could tell it was just hard for, you know, Kevin to do the interview simply because it's like, all right, I'm trying to interview my boy, but he won't take you seriously. But, again, you know, damaged both of those guys, all those guys. Everybody has a story. But I don't think anybody that's really made it, like, huge and even to a lesser degree, there's always something in there. So I just find that interesting, and maybe that's kind of what attracts me to those guys, in addition to, you know, just loving to have a sense of humor, and I love all types of, you know, mindsets and comedy types. But, yeah, that just dawned on me when we talked about the whole podcasting. I was like, man, that dude is a dick, which is why some people don't like to meet their heroes. You know, you've heard that before. Because it's like, oh, man, I love her work, or I love so-and-so, but I heard this and a third, and it's almost like, yeah, I don't want to meet them. I don't want to meet them because I'm afraid they'll let me down. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Have you ever done that? I know you've met a lot of people, so have you ever met someone you were really, really amped up about and they let you down?
Yeah.
I mean, you can bust them out. I ain't gonna tell nobody. This will be between you, me, and all my friends. I won't tell anybody. Who was it?
No. No, it's not just a matter of who. It's a matter of people in general will let you down. To err is human. To forgive is divine. People are going to let you down because it's human. You know, not everybody is going to get it right all of the time.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's not... What's the word I'm looking for? That's just the way it is. And we just have to accept that. That's why it just boggles my mind how people can put, like, their pastors up on this big pedestal that they,
you know,
can do no wrong, you know. But at the end, and then they're so surprised and so taken aback when this person that they've lifted up so high has, you know, done a horrific crime, such as, I don't know, molestation.
Touching little boy booties and BBs. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You know.
Touching
so,
big boys
booties
and BBs.
Right. So, I mean, it surprises me how people are so, you know, just, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. They're human. They
right.
are human. With the failings of humans, to make mistakes as humans do, which to me, something like that is not a mistake because you know what you're doing and you know it's wrong. Plain and simple.
Well, yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, You just sound like you have a general mistrust of humankind like me. Damn, we both misjaded. I do agree, though.
It's called common sense.
Yeah, but like what you when you mentioned
some don't.
Well, a lot don't, but the preacher's syndrome, the pastor thing. You know, to one degree, yeah, okay. A long time ago, we had no access to anything. We as in, you know, black people. So it is really back to that slave mentality. The only person of quote unquote authority was, for the most part, yeah, you know, your pastor, your preacher. Unfortunately, like we said, I tell people all the time, get mad if you want. He's just doing a job. He's just doing. Yeah. I have a friend here who I will not out or anything like that. Buddy of mine. But, you know, he's, you know, a newly ordained minister. He's very good at it. He and his first lady do their whole thing. They put up the great picture. They do all that stuff. Been in the club with this Negro since I moved here. You think he doesn't say the same things I say? You think he doesn't see the same things I say? He's a man. He's a human man. He's a fallible man. Like I said, he likes the same TikTok ass as I do. Now, all that to say, do I get mad at him for going and delivering the word and doing his job? I do not. He went to school to study what he did. I went to school to study what I did. We both have an occupation. The thing is, if he's helping people in any way, shape, or form, I am not upset with him at all. I don't care what your title is. You could be a doctor. You could be the president. You could be the pope. If you're doing certain things that are just, you know, wrong on every level, I don't care what your title is. You shouldn't be above that. But I think you're right. We put so much faith in even – it's funny how one of the things is thou shalt not worship idols and things like that, but there's a lot of idolatry just from the standpoint of the hero and the preacher worship. That's idolatry. But people don't think about that. People only pay attention to the commandments that they like the most, and it's only one or two of them. So it's funny that, you know, we will do that and get really, really butthurt when we learn that, you know, preachers are not perfect and they make mistakes and all that. Although people should be pretty damn used to it by now, they are human. They are imperfect people. But you're right. The faith and the trust and everything else that they put into them, it's almost sad that old practice is still around. And, you know, look, I get certain, you know, mamas, nanas, and peepaws, you're not about to convince them that they man of the cloth ain't Jesus' best friend and messenger. And I'm not here to try to do it. I don't want that smoke. But, sorry, I'm not going to pass that on to my children. I'm going to give them freedom of choice. And I'm sorry, I'm just not going to allow them to put that kind of faith and trust and everything in another man who did not give them life, such as myself. You must be out of your damn mind. No, man, I'm not going to I'm not going to put any man above, you know what I'm saying? Because here's what I do. I tell my children when I mess up. I admit it in a heartbeat. They know I'm not perfect. But until they encounter whoever maybe they're going to marry or whoever they're going to, whoever teaches them or re-saves their life or whatever, as imperfect as I am, I'm going to be the greatest man in their life. I'm not going to have them going somewhere on Sunday and coming home feeling like, no, hell no. Because, again, like I just said, it's too many preachers out there kicking it on Saturday, smelling like Hennessy on Sunday. And, again, I ain't mad at you, partner. You just should have changed your shirt. But, you know, no, I'm not going to ever allow my children to worship another human being, not even me. I want them to be absolutely crazy about me and things like that, but not to the point where they think I'm imperfect and can do no wrong, because that's a horrible setup for a letdown. Absolutely. So, yeah, there'll be none of that. There'll be none of that. Can't do it. It's just like, all right. So, you know. So, yeah, we've been rolling.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to CB and the Boys radio show. I'm CB, your hostess with the mostest, and you've got my boys in the building, Mr. George Buckleboy Holman and the fabulous Mr. Roger Hoskins, who has been holding it down where we've been having these technical difficulties. But I have a feeling that this is the last time that we shall have a technical difficulty for a very long time. A very, very, very long time.
Again,
I have
to thank everybody who's been hanging and writing. I know it can be frustrating because, you know, we get on a roll and things happen. But into every life, little rain must fall. So hopefully we come up with a huge technical umbrella and this crap doesn't happen anymore so we can keep rolling. But, again, we've got good stuff planned. We've got a lot coming. I'm really excited about what the summer is going to bring and the road trips and the videos and things like that. It's going to be definitely worth sticking with us, guys. So thanks again.
Yes, definitely. And I definitely want to thank everyone for your continued love and support. We love you. We appreciate you 120,000%. So thank you so very much.
Over. Roger, feel free to join us on video.
Oh, in that case, I got to go ahead and, you know, do what I do best. When I told everyone I was coming back with, you know, my hand together because something was broken on it. So I'm fixing that now. Now, since I'm having a heck of a good time playing devil's advocate as usual tonight, here's my next one. A teammate of mine has a situation now. Wonderful people. Okay, real quick. Let's say we have daughters. For those that have daughters or son, doesn't matter. But let's say your daughter has a child.
We all have daughters and sons.
Right. That's why I said it doesn't matter. Right. But let's just say your daughter was dating not the child's father at a particular time. So the other gentleman was in for a while and then decided to be out. Now, this gentleman is out, but he claims to want to still be in the child's life. Now, that in and of itself is okay, but as a parent, you know that this individual is using the child as a pawn. Basically, I just want to stick around and try to work my way back in, but not even that. I want to come see the child and introduce her to the new girlfriend who's not... You know, the ex. Would you have a trust issue with that, or would you just say, no, we're not doing that? And this question was actually posed to me, so, of course, I'll tell you what I said. From a teammate who really trusts me, yeah.
Why would you say no, period?
Why would or why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, my thought is, you know, if the other person, be it male or female, whichever direction this situation went, the person that chose not to be with them anymore but still be a parent to the child, why would you deny? I don't see why anybody would deny that spouse having anything to do with that child, that other partner.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? I'm misinterpreting and misunderstanding what you're saying.
Potentially. But, well, it depends on who we're talking about is the spouse and whatnot. Okay, but I'll let Crystal answer real quick, and then we'll go down that road. What do you think? What would you do?
I agree.
Okay, so just to be sure, just to be certain, you guys both think that even though the boyfriend, who's not the father of the kid, but was around for, you know, a year or so, and the kid's only two, was around for a year or so, wants to still be in the child's life, even though he and the girl aren't together and she's actually back with the father. I don't know if I put that out there or not. She's back with the father.
No, you didn't say that.
I apologize.
Yeah, you left that part out. Because, I mean, many a man, you can get attached to a child. But if the real father is in the picture, then it becomes a sense of, is the real father comfortable having that other
Agreed.
Man around? And it could be
Agreed.
Confusing to the child because that could be the only father that the child has known up until the real father coming back into the picture and finding out that that's the real father. So you have to think of, you know, is it going to be confusing for the child? And if the real father is okay with the other man being a part of the child's life, as long as the child realizes that, you know, this is daddy, but this man was a part of my life too. So daddy,
right.
the other daddy can, you know, turns into
right.
Uncle Daddy, for example, or something like that. Or if
exactly.
he's still a part of the life, he's just not daddy.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense.
Absolutely. No, it really does. Fair enough. I like that. So to kind of piggyback that, what I explained mm-hmm. to her was, if the situation was as such as what you're saying, then I would absolutely be like, yep, go ahead. Knowing a little bit about the history, I know it's not. I know the ex is trying to use the baby kind of as a pawn to get back in. So that's why I said I wouldn't do it. I suggested no. But you're right. If both of them are adult enough to say, hey, we love this child, and I mean, we really do, and regardless of what you do, you know, it doesn't matter, then, yeah, I would be all for it because I really don't think that there is enough, you know, children with a village that actually does love them. But when you know it's kind of something different, then it becomes, you know, it becomes a situation where you have to be careful. Now, between y'all, me, and the walls, ain't either one of the guys worth shit. But it is what it is. At least at least they're around for now. I will say that, you know, the young lady is a lovely young lady who just happens to make bad choices, and here we are. And, again, no child ever asked to be here. But I was just curious because when she – you know, when she said, well, why? And again, you have to understand, this is a 21, 22-year-old talking to three or four, you know, people that are twice her age. And so none of us want to be like, what the hell are you thinking? Because realize, 20 years is a lot of experience that you can have or don't have to have. So just imagine what none of us knew or thought we knew at 21. You thought you had a grip on it. You didn't. And here we are with a lot of mistakes that we've all made, a lot of good things too. But all that, we were just trying to kind of gently guide her by saying, look, you made two bad choices in a row. You should probably, the next time you choose to date someone, I was like, straight up, go against everything you like. Everything you normally go for, I was like, go the opposite. Because unfortunately, I think we do have a type set, even if we don't know it. It doesn't have to be physical, and I think that's what gets people. Because we're like, oh, you know, I'm into tall guys. I'm into short. I'm into light skin. I'm into, you know, heavy set. I'm into, you know, waif. Like, it's not about that. We have a type set that we're attracted to up here before we even realize it. And I think that that's kind of been the downfall of this young lady early on. So, yeah, I pretty much, my advice was definitely 86 to X. He's not in the picture anymore. She's already mentioned that she's afraid he's going to, and these are her words, take my baby around the whore of the month. So I said that's not what you want to do. Since you don't want your baby around the whore of the month, I would suggest you say no. And then I also suggested, look, if he really is like that concerned, he can do two things. He can come over when, say, your mom or your grandmother's there and you're not, or he can come over when the kid's father's there and you or your mom or grandmother there, and he can do the group thing, mm-hmm. and then he can spend individual time with her. You know what? You guys can go talk in the kitchen while he spends a little bit of, you know, QT in the living room with the baby. And if you're a real man and you can speak to a kid's father and say, hey, brother, I'm glad you're here, but I love this little girl just like my own, blah, blah, blah. You know what? He deserves that. But you and I know that won't happen. So, you know it won't happen. It's tough when you got to, like, man up and look another man in the eye and go, hey, you know. But I would absolutely have done that. That much I do know about myself at that age, even. If I felt like that about somebody's kid, I would have absolutely done that. You know, mm-hmm. it's just real sticky to get into, man, when you're so young and trying to figure it out. But, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
If you're just not joining us, so you're listening to CB and the Boys radio show. I'm CB, and I got my boys in the building, Mr. George Biker Boy Holman. And the fabulous Mr. Roger Hawkins.
Pinky's
Daily
up,
Dushman
baby.
Thomas. Daily Dushman Thomas, unfortunately, did not get to join us in the studio this week. But maybe he'll join us next week. And we're working on some things, guys, so look forward to it. We've got some surprises set for you guys coming up in the coming months. So definitely please look forward to that. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation, and hopefully you're getting some good motivation, conversation, talk, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So come back next week. We, like I said, we come to you every Wednesday, and we'll be back next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a music break coming on.
Oh,
what
yeah.
song shall I play? What song should it be? Let's see. Shall I play Ugly?
Don't make X roll over. Do it for the X. Don't make him roll over. Unless we can remix that with X barking in it, that would be great.
Right.
All right. I feel you on that one. All right. How about some Love and Lost in Paris? And then we'll be back with another DMX. Here we go.
Ooh.
All I know is we could go anywhere, we could do anything, girl, whatever the mood we're in. Yeah, all I know is getting lost late at night under stars, finding love standing right where we are. Your lips, they pull me in the moment. You and I alone, and people may be watching. I don't mind, 'cause anywhere with you feels right. Anywhere with you feels like Paris in the rain, Paris in the rain. We don't need a fancy town, a bar that we can't pronounce. Anywhere with you, like Paris in the rain. When I'm with you, when I'm with you, Paris in the rain, Paris in the rain. You know, and I want this forever. I might not deserve it, but there's nothing better. Don't know how I ever did it all without you. My heart is about to jump out of my chest. Feelings, they come and they go, that they do. Feelings, they come and they go, not with you. Late nights and streetlights and people. Look at me, girl, the whole world could stop. Anywhere with you feels right. Anywhere with you feels like passion train. Passion free. We don't need a fancy town, a bar that we can't pronounce. Anywhere we go, like passion free. When I'm with you, when I'm with you, passion free, passion free. Oh. you feels like Paris in the rain, Paris in the rain. Walking down empty streets, puddles underneath our feet.
What they really want from me. 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 What they really want from me.
Dog, I meet women, discreet women, street women, slag, cocoa puff, sweet women, make you wanna eat women, but not me. Y'all catch it off the plate all you want, but not me.
What they really want.
Come on, ma, you know I got a wife. Even though that tight, I ain't gon' jeopardize my life. So what is it you want? What I gave you, you gave me. I blaze you, you blaze me.
Really,
I get that dick chicken from a distance. The instant they start to catch feelings, I start to steal and they think that I'm out. It's like a thief in the night. I think my teeth in the bite. You think your life, I'm thinking more like, what's up
what
tonight?
Really want,
nothing more, nothing less. But you at my door, willing to confess that it's the best you ever test.
Right.
Better than all the rest. I'm like, alright, girlfriend, hold up. I gave you what you gave me, boo.
What they really want.
What they really
want from nigga.
What they
That's
really
that lick.
Hey,
that's that lick.
You know, I heard somebody, I forgot who it was the other day, they were talking about it. It might have been Trevor Noah. He was like, you know how dope you got to be to get on a bunch of songs and bark? and have people eat that shit up. Like, really, the idea when that cat came around and just started growling and barking, we were like, so, this dude straight, he all right? He got rabies or what? And now you can't, I mean, you can't go anywhere without hearing that and recognizing it. Just goes to show, you know.
But did you see the Facebook post?
Which one?
When they left the hospital with his body?
No.
When
no,
I
no,
tell
no.
you
no.
all of New York, all of New York was in the streets in Yonkers.
Wow.
The car that they was carrying the body from in could literally go only five to 7 miles an hour. It was completely surrounded by, like, the entire city. I mean, it looked like a Mardi Gras times 100. And,
wow.
And the whole time down the block, all the way while they was driving, all you heard was they had a car with some beats in it, I guess, because all you heard was the Rough Riders anthem. The Rough Riders anthem.
Right.
They was walking him down to wherever they drove him to the funeral home. I mean, the funeral
mortuary
place or whatever that they drove
not
him to.
Not a parlor.
The parlor,
wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, I seen that, and I was just like, wow. I mean, it was just amazing. And I'm like, you know, this man has got to have a private burial. Because if they make it public, all of New York
yeah.
will be there.
That may or may not happen. You know, oftentimes, like, the family will be
they
you know,
need
private, cremate, whatever. Yeah, you can't tell nobody. They're going to break in.
Hey, they
but
make it. They make it. If the public finds out about it, I guarantee you they're going to have it at a Coliseum.
Good.
Because that's
good.
How many people,
you know,
that's how many people were in the street.
Yeah, it proves a point. Good.
Definitely. It does.
But you know what was weird, though? New York is, like, way too comfortable with, you know, weird crap happening to their celebrities. So, I mean, I love the turnout and the support, but... Damn.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a fact of life. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's still hard to believe that, you know, it's like all the legends are just leaving us, you know. I was watching TCM, and for those of you who don't know what TCM is, it's Turner Classic Movies. And I was looking at some movies that I haven't seen for a long time, and I even have discovered many films that I've never seen. And it's just so amazing to me to watch these people's work, but then also it's interesting to realize that every last person in this film is dead and gone. But their work will linger on, and the same goes for DMX and all the other celebrities that we've lost. Their work speaks for itself. Them reaching legendary status speaks for itself. And that is what will be remembered, you know, what they meant to the world, what their music meant to the world, what their art meant to the world. That is what will linger on. And so even though DMX has departed us in physical body, in physical form, but in spirit and in his work and his legacy, he will live on. So, yes,
yeah,
we're going to miss him, and those that were close to him, you're going to miss him, miss talking to him, you know, verbally with him physically being on this plane, but his work is still here. And there's probably songs that they will probably release now that he made, you know, that he didn't get a chance to release. Now we'll get to hear a lot more from him, even though he's not here physically, but his work is still here. And I'm really looking forward to
that Jay-Z and Beyonce bought his catalog and gave it to his children. They bought that's dope. You know, that's when I take my hat off to people, because some people have a bigger stage and a bigger platform. You swing a bigger bat. They have the ability to do that. Pretty much what Michael Jackson and Prince were doing, which kind of got them clipped, got them killed. They did that for his family. I love to see us take care of our own. And, I mean, it's kind of a thing that we should all be obligated, maybe not on that particular scale, but if nothing else, to teach someone else who may not know how to feed themselves, or to teach someone else mm-hmm. who may not know how to provide. So I dig that, because otherwise, you know, who knows how those children and young adults would have ended up. But that and I think it's kind of a twofold thing, because it kept like the big corporations and giants from taking his shit and using mm-hmm. it however they wanted to, exactly, and not done a thing for
yep.
the family. So big ups to the exactly. Carters, man. I got to give big love to the Carters for doing that. That's really how you do it. But mm-hmm. I don't know, that's why I think at this point we're all kind of like that. Each one of us, you know, feels like, at least I know I do at this point. If you've ever had a near miss or gone through anything, you feel like, look, I'm trying to appreciate y'all for today. I'm trying to do all I can do now. Don't give me shit when I'm gone. Tell me now. Go ahead. I'm going to listen. I'll let you tell me and say whatever, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't, a testament to people really is who shows up at your funeral. Mm-hmm. But tell me today, like, look, if I did something wrong, tell me and I can fix it. If I did something right, tell me. You know, because I'm going to do the exact same thing. I think we all try to play that whole, I'm going to be dramatic and wait until the perfect time, and we've all probably gotten burned on that, whether it was because you missed out on a relationship or because you lost someone. But that whole waiting to tell them or to say it for the perfect time, and that shit's for the birds, man. Don't do that. That rainy day might not come. And I'm sure he knew he was loved and appreciated. Again, Tech reached out and said the same thing. They had collaborated a little bit, and they were working on a song that they were – Tech said he had found a song that he wanted those guys to do together, and it didn't materialize, but he did get the opportunity, you know, to jump on stage, and they got to hang and do whatever. So he's got a story, but you just don't know.
Yeah, he touched many lives and many hearts.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been real. It's been fun. It's been an awesome show. And those of you listening to us or watching us live on Facebook and YouTube, stick around. We are going to have our after show for you guys. But in the meantime, guys, we only have 6 minutes left, and I do have a special song that I'd like to play that it's kind of a mashup, kind of, because I'm pretty sure these two artists did not collaborate together. They didn't have the opportunity, but the way this DJ did the mashup is amazing. You will love it. So guys, go ahead and say your parting words to our listeners. But remember, those of you who are watching us live, stick around. There's more fun to be had. All right, guys.
All right, thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for hanging out, those that did. And, you know, as we said before, it's only going to go up and get better, so hang in there. We appreciate you. We love you. Without you, it's no us. Be cool.
Definitely. George?
Peace, love, and hair grease.
And wave caps.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to TV and the Boys. I'm TV. And my boys, of course, Mr. George Bikerboy Holman and the fabulous Mr. Roger Hoffman. J. Lee Ducheman Thomas, once again, was not in the studio with us this week, but hopefully he will return. So until we meet again. So we will see you guys next week, same time, same Blog Talk channel, same YouTube channel, and same Facebook Live channel. And all of those on iHeartRadio, don't forget to like us, subscribe, and we appreciate your love and support as well. So without further ado, to take us home, here is a mashup of DMX and Tupac in Bored and You Hear Me. We'll see you next time.
I may cry.
Please bow your heads. Let us pray.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Lord, give me a sign. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Preach.
And that righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Speak.
Lord, give me a sign. I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it.
What?
Pain. name with just the mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and nothing they can tell me now.
Tell me, Lord, can you hear me?
Let me know what's on your mind.
Whatever you want me to, just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign.